This is a commercial-free archive edition of our live radio show that airs every Friday at noon Arizona time on OpenMinds.tv.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host, Alejandra Rojas, former official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network. Alejandro has been a UFO paranormal researcher and journalist for nearly a decade and has logged hours in the field investigating the paranormal up close and personal. And now Open Minds Radio presents evidence and the latest news regarding the UFO phenomenon. Here's your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hello and welcome to Open Minds Radio, where we're bringing the UFO subject into the light of day. This is Alejandro Rojas, and we have another cool show today, and this is our Phoenix Light special because tomorrow is the anniversary of the Phoenix Lights. And if you're unaware of what that is, that was a mass sighting that happened in 1997, March 13th, where a lot of people out here in Phoenix, Arizona, which happens to be where we're broadcasting from, saw this humongous object, this giant V-shaped, chevron-shaped black object with lights on it. It coasted. There were sightings throughout the state, so an amazing mass sighting. A few weeks ago, we had Frances Barwood on the show. She was a city councilwoman at the time, and she talked about taking reports from hundreds of witnesses. She said she personally talked to over 700 witnesses. I thought, wow, that's a lot of people. But from being out here, I'm realizing that there are a ton of people that saw this thing. It's just like, and I should have known better because, you know, when I used to be with this investigation group, we knew that when there was a sighting and one person calls in, there's probably at least five other people that saw it that didn't call in. So that being the case with the Phoenix Lights, there could have been, you know, 7,000 people who saw this out there. And I wouldn't be surprised because the more people I talk to, the more witnesses I find. They say, oh, yeah, I saw that thing, you know, back years ago that flew over, that was in the news and everything. So it's incredible. One of the witnesses was Mike Fortson. He had this thing. He was outside, and he saw it with his wife. So we're going to have him on to talk about this in a bit. He's also going to talk about some of the other witnesses that he's talked to that have seen it. Also, a special guest, we're going to have Dr. Lynn Katai on the show, and she is a doctor who saw the Phoenix Lights and recorded them, and she was so inspired. She actually kept secret about it for a while, didn't want people to think she was nuts, but she was so inspired about it that she created an excellent documentary that she's going to be showing at the Shea Harkins Theater on the 14th, and we're going to have her talking more about that. But talking about all these witnesses, we had, you know, I was getting my hair cut the other day even, and this girl said, oh, UFOs, you know, my dad's really into it, and we all saw those UFOs that went over Phoenix. And I asked her what she meant, and she was talking the Phoenix Lights. She said she was watching it, calling all of her friends. Her friends were going outside. They were all excited and freaking out over seeing this thing over the city. So they were amazed. And there are two Open Minds employees who are from the area who saw it also, including our news correspondent, Jason McClellan. And before we get into the news, I want Jason to share his sighting with us. Jason.
I'd be happy to share with you a brief recap of what I remember. It's interesting because, you know, this was 13 years ago, but I still have a really clear memory of that night and what happened. You know, I grew up in the middle of the desert. Nothing was around for miles. And so we always, not always, but, you know, regularly we just stayed outside or sat on the roof of the house or, and just watched the night sky because the stars were incredible. You could see everything for miles. And I remember on that night seeing the lights up in the sky. And when I saw the lights, they weren't necessarily in a delta pattern or a triangle or boomerang shape. It was more like a, I guess, like a sideways frowny face. But they were just white lights, many of them, and I can't remember how many I saw at the time. I mean, there were at least six, but they were very bright, very visible, and they just stayed there. They didn't move at all. They were just there in the sky.
And during this time, you lived by Luke Air Force Base, so you knew what A-10s look like and how they sound.
Absolutely. They were always flying. A-10s and other military craft were always flying right over our house from Luke Air Force Base, going out to the Barry M. Goldwater range, where they do drop bombs and shoot guns and do target practice
right
out there. So they were always low-altitude planes right over our house. So we saw military planes all the time.
So this, but this wasn't military planes.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the common statements about the Phoenix Lights, explanations for the Phoenix Lights, is they were flares. And also, growing up where I did, I frequently saw the A-10s dropping their flares. So I knew what the flares looked like, and this was completely different.
Wow, that's amazing. So what we're going to do is talk about the Phoenix Lights a little more, but since we've got you here, Jason, why don't we get right into the UFO news headlines of the week?
That sounds good. Hello, Phoenix, and hello, world. Let's review the news from the week. A date has been set for a judicial review at the High Court in London for UK hacker Gary McKinnon. On May 25th and 26th, the court will review the government's decision to allow McKinnon's extradition to the U.S., where he is wanted on charges of hacking into military and NASA computers. Prosecutors claim McKinnon's actions caused $800,000 worth of damage. McKinnon denies causing any damage, however, and insists he only accessed files in his search for evidence of UFO cover-ups. McKinnon suffers from Asperger's syndrome, and his legal team is using that as an argument against his extradition to the U.S. His mother worries that her son would commit suicide if he's put on a plane to the U.S.
Yeah, kind of bittersweet for UFO research because nobody wants to see this guy. I mean, I think, you know, leave him where he is. You know, why extradite him? It's not like he was, you know, looking to share secrets with enemies. He's looking for UFO stuff. But if they do bring him here, which it does seem like they will, there'll probably be a whole lot of news on what he discovered and why he's looking into UFOs, and we'll have another reason for UFOs to be in the mass media again.
And this case has been in the news a lot. You know,
yeah.
It's been dragging on for a while now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. In U.S. news, Cleveland, Ohio's Fox Channel 8 reported earlier this week on a series of UFO sightings in Euclid, Ohio. Eugene Ehrlich, a local resident, spotted and photographed lights in the sky outside his house over a span of 6 nights. He described the lights as pulsating and changing colors from red to yellow to green to blue. Others witnessed the UFO as well, but the object or objects remain a mystery.
Yeah, interesting. Night after night after night. If you're living in Ohio, you know, go to our site, openminds.tv. Let us know if you're seeing these things.
And the UFO in Euclid, Ohio, wasn't the only mysterious object observed this week. There are regularly multiple sightings all over the country, but just a couple of the ones reported by major media this week were sightings reported in New Cumberland, Pennsylvania, Eureka, California, Manistee, Michigan, and NBC New York reported even more sightings in Brooklyn. It seems like the past several weeks there have been lots and lots of sightings in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And just like with the Phoenix Lights, what's amazing is for everybody that reports something, there's a lot of people that aren't reporting.
Yeah.
So and, report.
That's right. And, you know, we have our website, and there are other websites out there for reporting, and there are a lot of sightings every single day all around the country and the world.
Strange stuff going on out there.
That is all from the news today. I am Jason McClellan, your Open Minds news correspondent. Back to you, Alejandro.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Remember, you can read all of this news at openminds.tv on our front page. And also, Jason did write about his experience, and he did write some more about Francis Barwood and Fife Symington related to the Phoenix Lights because the governor at the time made fun of the whole thing. And then eventually came out and said, you know what, I saw it, and I was an Air Force pilot, and those things are not from this planet. That was an extraterrestrial craft. So that's what Governor Fife Symington is saying. Lynn Cataay has added that to her new revised documentary that she will be showing us in a couple days. So we'll be talking more about her documentary and more about the Phoenix Lights when we get back.
Your are listening to Open Minds Radio with Alejandro Rojas on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
All right, welcome back. This is Open Minds Radio, and you are listening to your host, Alejandro Rojas. And if you want to call in a little later, remember you can call in at 1-866-536-1100. That is the for anybody out there. And then if you're in the Phoenix metro area, you can call 602-277-5369. So if you're dying to give us a call, please do so and ask some questions. Now, Mike, if you're out there, give us a call too. We haven't heard from Mr. Fortson yet, but luckily we have Dr. Lynn Kitai on the phone. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on and letting people know about our wonderful 13th anniversary. I can't believe it's 13 years already.
Right. You know, and it's great to have you on because I knew 5 minutes was probably going to be really difficult to fit you in and talk about everything you wanted to talk about. So it's great. Maybe if you could share your sighting and how that had started.
Actually, sightings for both myself and my husband, who had no interest or knowledge in this topic at all, started for us 2 years prior to the mass sighting, and they were very close, about a block away, a city block away, a little below us because we're high in the mountains in Paradise Valley, and happened to get pictures of them. Didn't have any idea why this advanced technology would be hovering above a private gated mountainside residence, but nonetheless, I did get pictures and looked to the sky. We have a panoramic view of the city skyline, and we know what planes look like and helicopters and streetlights and so forth. Just as Jason was saying, he lives near Loop, so he's very familiar with flares, and we were too. But anyway, these were orbs. These were rock-solid information. They were orbs. The light did not extend outside the edge. I always go back to this 95 sighting for many reasons, but, when you see something up close and personal like that, and it's so incredibly extraordinary, I mean, just awesome and unusual and unearthly, as the former governor Symington would also impart, it stays with you forever. Mm-hmm. And I really took a mental note of these objects or phenomena, and they were about 3 to 6 feet each. They were oval shape, actually. And
you have pictures on your website.
I do, at phoenixlights.net. Thank you for mentioning that.
Uh-huh.
If anybody wants to get on the site, I've had them up there since 2004. But there's and that was one of the reasons I had to come forward, Alejandro, because I continued to photograph these unexplained global phenomena,
right,
up until including the mass sighting night when I got the 3 points of light over the city. And by the way, we're doing there's some new information that's going to be coming out shortly. I won't divulge it yet till it's all together, but videos around 10 o'clock.
Is that in your documentary, the new information?
Yes. Well, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Not that. We have new information.
Is it in the book?
And new sightings and new interviews and so forth and new data. And we're also on Sunday, not only will we be presenting the documentary, but we'll have a Q&A and a book signing. My new book just came out. A lot has happened since I came forward in 2004.
Right. Well, you said that you had, when you saw these things, you thought they were an advanced technology.
Absolutely.
What made you believe that?
Because it was so incredibly unusual. I mean, here were orbs hovering above a private desert. I mean, dangerous terrain underneath. There was no one creating them. They were just there, and they were in a pyramid formation, one on top and two closely aligned underneath. And as I tried to take everything in mentally, that mental moment that we have, maybe even once in a lifetime, I really wanted to note everything. The color within each orb was very different than anything I'd ever seen. It was an amber color, uniform throughout, and it didn't glare at all. It was very mesmerizing, very soothing. Every other light out there glared. And as I'm watching these things, just hovering there, and you could see there were three distinct objects. It was just absurd. I thought, if I don't get a picture of this, nobody's going to believe it. And I ran to the closet to grab it. One of my husband calls me back. He says, one of them is disappearing. Get over here quick. And this is really what actually changed my life, because we stood there and watched the top orb without budging. And the only thing that I can you know, at the time when this was happening, it was fading very, very slowly from view. And I was just trying to gather all my thoughts. What could this possibly be? And, you know, the only movies we had ever seen, because neither of us was interested, we knew nothing about this topic, was E.T. and Close Encounters. And our children, now they're grown men, but at the time, periodically we would watch Star Trek because of the wonderful messages. And you know the Romulan cloaking device when it kind
right.
of wavers before a close...
Kind
so
of
really
like that movie Predator, it kind of looks like the heat kind of mirage type of effect.
Yeah, but it kind of wavered. If you ever see that again, you'll see what I mean. But I really noted that. It didn't move. It didn't budge, but it seemed like it was cloaking. It seemed that after it disappeared, it was still there, even though we didn't see it anymore.
Now, these three separate lights, you felt that they were three separate objects and not together on one?
Right.
That's
how it felt. I mean, I can't say for sure, but that's how
right.
it felt, and certainly the pictures would indicate that. Anyway, I got onto the balcony, shot a quick picture of the two bottom orbs, which is posted on the website, thephoenixlights.net, and immediately noticed an eerie silence, as if time had stopped. It was just bizarre. And I have to say, Alejandro, I did not share this with anyone until after the mass sighting when I first met with Jim Dellatoso. He was the first person that I shared this with. As I was looking at these two bottom orbs, it actually felt that an intelligent presence was watching me. And I,
wow.
my mind was, who are you? What are you? Do you know that I'm here? I'd love to meet you. And the next thing I remember, the left bottom orb disappeared, and I quickly shot a picture of that. And that was the only picture that turned out at the time. But for me, it was so confirmatory that we saw something unusual. It really happened. I happened to catch a picture with one half disappeared as it was happening. But you want to know something that was really poignant? When we went back a year after the mass sighting and
sure.
we studied these pictures, well, there's a lot more to the story. Which
right.
I don't think we have time to get into, but and I'm sharing that for the first time in the book concerning some really, I mean, talk about bizarre findings that Dr. Bruce Maccabee discovered when he looked at my pictures. But what's really amazing, if you look at the pictures on the website, you can see it right there, the same line formation of lights, of orbs in the distance that I would capture in the same location 2 months before the mass sighting when I caught six pictures of this phenomena head-on turning into a V-shape, confirmed the next morning by air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor International Airport, what I called around because it was so unnerving and huge.
So you called the airport after your sighting prior, the one that happened
at the 95 sighting. I didn't
right.
even know who to show the picture to.
But this was in 97, however, prior
right.
from the big mass sighting
right.
on the 13th.
2 months before the mass sighting.
And what did the airport tell you?
Actually, they were amazed that I saw them in a distance. They were very alarmed because these things happened to show up in Class B airspace. There's a 30-mile radius around the center of the airport where any aircraft, anybody in that area has to call into the tower. Nobody called in. So they looked at the radar, did not show up on the radar. They took their high-powered binoculars to look, and in their own words, they described them as six points of light that were totally equidistant from each other, massive span, over a mile wide, that actually started to turn. So my pictures indicate we saw the same thing at the same time because I got this thing head-on turning into a V.
Well, that's pretty incredible that they would admit that to you because
they were excited to go.
Yeah, typically everybody, you know, they shut down. They don't talk about it.
No, I got them, like, the next morning, and they were buzzing about it, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they did stop talking after a while.
So how did it feel then when the mass sighting happened in March? Did it feel validating for you because finally – everybody's seeing what you've been videotaping and taking pictures of.
Absolutely. Alejandro, I have to tell you, once, you know, that night for me was like an ordinary night. I saw, at about 8:20, I saw one lone light far west or in the west. And at that time, by the way, is when the call came in from the retired police officer from Paulden, Arizona. So that computes. Plus, there was a recording from the UFO Reporting Center that a crewman, and we have that both in the book and the recording itself in the documentary, a crewman from Luke Air Force Base called the UFO Reporting Center, Peter Davenport, and reported in great detail that actually the object, or one of the objects, because there were many things that were happening that night, by the way, that we also have on our website, the GAP program, to show everybody the multiple craft that were throughout the state. But anyway, this crewman said that there was one of these mile-wide objects hovering right over 7th Avenue and Indian School military jets were sent out after it to whether intercept or get gun camera film. And we have witnesses that saw this, actually, saw the jets being on after with the afterburners on. As they got close, the object blinked out. And the crewman actually said that he was one of the people to carry one of the pilots out of his own craft because he was so shaken up by it. So there were a lot of things happening. So that was 8:20. So I did see an orb like I had been seeing, and in my pictures, they're consistent. It's an unbelievable. They're consistently showing up where South Mountain and the Estrella Mountain Range intersect.
Mm-hmm.
And about an hour later, on March 13th, I see one lone light a little after 9 o'clock. Now it's far south. Now, that computes because that's when people were reporting that they were seeing these objects down in near Tucson. And about 10 o'clock, all of a sudden, the same formation in the same location that I caught in 95 with the close sighting and 2 months before the mass sighting popped up again. And I ran outside, and so, in other words, this thing's been around for a while. I ran outside, and I happened to catch the 3 points of light like the end points of a giant V or triangle. And for me, it was like another night, but this is how close I was, I have to tell you, Alejandra. The week before, I had started showing the video, which doesn't do it justice, okay? The video does not do it justice.
Right. It's hard to capture that stuff.
Yeah, they're smaller, they flicker, they're white in the video, although some people did see white and some people did see amber.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute. We do have to go to break. So we'll talk about this sighting. We'll also talk more about your documentary, what inspired you. And it really is the best documentary that captures what happened on March 13th, 1997. So you're going to have to come check it out with us at the Harkins Theater if possible. So stay tuned. You're listening to Open Minds Radio with KFNX.
This is Open Minds Radio. Here again, your host, UFO paranormal researcher and journalist, Alejandro Rojas.
Welcome back. We are here with Dr. Lynn Katai talking about the Phoenix Lights. Remember, you can go to openminds.tv to get more information on all of what we're talking about here. You can also go to the radio tab, remember, and watch us live on our video stream. So actually, there's a couple second delay, but we're pretty live there on the video stream. That's a lot of fun. There's also a chat there where you can talk to us and ask some questions. So that's a lot of fun. And we also inform you up to all the links and everything we talk about, such as Dr. Lynn Katai's link on thephoenixlights.net, where she's got more information about what she saw in her documentary and her book, which we are now speaking about. So, Lynn, you were talking about before we went to break the March 13th sighting, and that about 10 p.m. you had seen kind of what looked like the tip of a craft?
Right, like the three lights, the three end lights of a giant V formation. And I have to urge people, if they're interested, to take a look at the website, because there is such a plethora of information that we posted on there. It's all free, and you can really delve into not only the GAP program, which is Geospatial Animation Project, 12 years of compilation from the UFO Reporting Center reports, as well as Village Labs, Michael Tanner's Bill Hamilton, the former Councilwoman Frances Barwood reports, as well as Arizona MUFON. Really a team effort. Larry Lowe took the reports, and actually now with the technology that we have with Google Earth and so forth, he has formulated a number of the different crafts that people saw. Now, whether it was one craft that could morph into looking like different crafts, or it was different craft, the parade of different craft, or the perspective from the person's angle, we may never know. But nonetheless, there is about 8 or 9 different kinds of depictions that people can take a peek at that were reported statewide. But at any rate, there's a lot more on the website, as well as the photo page. And again, one of the interesting things about that, which we can get to, remind me, is the fact of where the lights are in the distance that I've always documented. They're in between where South Mountain and the Estrella Mountains intersect. I might as well tell you now if you'd like, which is kind of an interesting anecdote. I have come not to believe in coincidence. I have to tell you, for 30 years I've been doing community education on health issues and have a company that produces video workbook curriculums on vital health issues. That's why I felt compelled to do the same for this vital issue. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless,
and what was the coincidence you were referring to?
Pardon me?
You were referring to some sort of coincidence that had happened?
Well, yeah, this is a coincidence. About 6 months before the mass sighting, I was invited to present my substance abuse prevention education program at their one school at the Gila Bend Indian Reservation, which is sacred ground in the basin in between South Mountain and the Estrella Mountain Range. And that's where these phenomena seem to be popping up. If you just look at my pictures, the data speaks for itself.
Right.
And I gave them a call after the mass sighting, because we got a little friendly and they were open to share with me. And I said, you know what, these lights seem to be showing up near where the reservation is. Did anybody happen to see strange lights on March 13th? And they started to laugh. And I said, is that funny? And they said, are you kidding? We've been looking up at them for centuries. We call them sky people.
Really? Like, wow.
It's part of their culture. I had no idea. And it's not only the Gila Bend Indian Reservation that has seen these things for centuries, and they call the Estrella's gateway to the stars, Estrella being the star in Spanish, right?
Mm-hmm. But that's amazing because, you know, I've worked with a lot of different Native American groups, and, you know, they are very often open to this subject. They,
exactly.
You know, they've been watching these things for a long time. Sky people, they refer to them as star
exactly.
people.
Exactly, and they call them in. They actually, I just learned
wow.
that Opie have shared with some people that they have protocols to invite these phenomena.
Wow.
And many of them believe that their spirit world, that they're coming to give them guidance and comfort and inspire them. I mean, we really should learn some lessons from the Native culture.
Right. Well, speaking of inspiration, you know, the documentary, so you had your sightings over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You were kind of, you didn't want to get into there and go public with it for a while. Then all of a sudden you decide to create a documentary. How did you get there?
Well, it didn't happen by accident. Actually, 1,000 of people had seen what I had been seeing. That really took me back, and it wasn't until, and this is another coincidence I was starting to mention before the break, that, I mean, this is how close I was, Alejandro. Once I started showing the video, even though they're white and they flicker and they don't look like the real deal, which are giant balls of spinning energy, the formations themselves are very compelling. So I started to show them to my friends, and here is how close I was to the topic. A friend of a friend had a neighbor who had a friend who knew the past president of MUFON. So I called him up. I told him I had, you know, I was seeing these orbs. Now, he had not heard about it, but there were people that not only witnessed them days before like I was doing, but also that took video of them. And the video is quite striking. I mean, you can see these are balls of spinning energy. At any rate, he hooks me up with a field investigator from MUFON for the following Wednesday. He cancels or postpones because the then state director wanted to be at our meeting and his mom had passed Saturday. And the only window of opportunity I had for the next 2-3 weeks was Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Fine, he says. Well, I come walking with video in hand from the night before, which I had no idea. Other people had seen it too. And the first thing he says to me is, did you see the mass sighting last night? And I said, well, I saw something very similar in the same location. In fact, I had already communicated with the air traffic controllers again, and they verified they saw the same thing at the same time. Again, it was in Class B airspace, same phenomena. And he says, no, hundreds, if not thousands of people saw this mile to 2 mile wide formation of lights or craft and totally silent and very low altitude. And some people did see it take off at a tremendous speed, by the way. And others actually saw the orbs detach from the main object, go out into the environment, and then redock with it. Maybe
right.
That's what happened to us in 95. But at any rate, that blew me away. And I said, whoa, he was telling me that NBC was going to be there in a few minutes to interview him. And I had done health reporting in the early 80s for NBC, and they might recognize me. Plus the fact, I said, you know what, this is not about me. This is about the data. And as an educator, I would love people to see what we saw. So I gave him a copy of the video. I said, share it with whoever you please. And by the first news at 4:30 the next afternoon, actually, the day after the mass sighting, my video was plastered on every news.
All over the place.
It was really exciting to tell you.
Yeah.
Because now people – not only was I finding out that thousands of people saw what I had seen, but now people were getting a chance elsewhere to see what was videoed here. And by the evening news, a couple of other videos turned out. And if you look at Tom King's Arrowhead video, it is striking. I mean, those lights are either attached to something or there's a field in between, as the air traffic controllers would say. The data speaks for itself. And then, of course, Mike Kristen's boomerang-shaped footage came later. And there was another footage as well, Chuck Reardon's footage, that it's a little iffy. It looks like a boomerang, but it's a little haphazard, so we're not sure about that one. But at any rate, the bottom line is that other people, a handful of people, did get video, and there were a lot of other people, by the way, for people to say, well, why didn't people get pictures? Well, in those days, we really didn't have the cell phones with cameras.
Yeah, cell phone video that people can do.
Right, and people did try to take pictures of this mile-wide object, and it was so dark and blocked out the
yeah, taking pictures of lights in the sky and behind the stars is very difficult.
They didn't turn out. So we were very fortunate that at least we did get something from that night. And then, you know, a week later, I see my video on TV. They're interviewing a gentleman who is right out in Tempe. I had no idea. Jim Delatoso, who not only was working with Village Labs, which was a computer lab, but also...
Right, so he was able to do some analysis. We had him on the show and talked a bit about his analysis, which was really interesting.
Right. Absolutely. But he also does, like you said, analysis for UFO sightings from around the world. This is the first I heard of it.
So I know he did some analysis on the flare theory, and I want to ask you about that. After the break, we'll talk about these flares, and then we're going to have to move on to some other things. But we'll be right back. We're talking to Dr. Lynn Cattai on Open Minds Radio on KFNX.
Welcome back to Open Minds Radio. Here now, former official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network, your host of Open Minds Radio, Alejandro Rojas.
Former spokesperson to MUFON, but doing much cooler stuff now at openminds.tv. So it's a lot of fun, like getting to move out here to Phoenix and be part of this whole experience. And it's amazing to hear of all these witnesses, like you talked about, others going, oh, yeah, we see that all the time. But I wanted to ask you real quick, we're out of time here, but there is controversy. Some people said that there were flares dropped later in the night on March 13th, but I know Jim's work showed that they weren't flares. Where do you fit on that?
Actually, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, I have no doubt, because we know that jets were sent off to intercept this thing earlier that night at 8:20, that the military was well aware that things were going on. And, you know, if they were sending off flares to divert people's attention away, that is very reasonable, but that's not what we saw. Okay, that's
right.
All I can say. That is not what we saw. And I have to say, did you know that there was a sighting a mass sighting one month before ours in St. Petersburg, Russia, on February 19th, 1997? And a couple people got video, and actually one of the crafts that Larry Lowe illustrated in our GAP program, a geospatial animation project on our website, thephoenixlights.net, is identical to the that somebody got, and we're actually using that craft on our new documentary that's coming out, a new version. The Vanguard International Cinema is releasing the Phoenix Lights Beyond Top Secret on March 30th, and we're using that craft actually on the front cover. But
great.
At any rate, you know, when they did not come out with the flare theory until 5 months after the mass sighting. There was no investigation, no explanation at all. And it was very bizarre.
Because a lot of UFO researchers who even, you know, they believe this was a mass sighting of something strange refer to flares, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of...
Well, actually, not until a USA Today article came out on June 18th and opened our sighting up to international scrutiny. And, yes, people refer to flares all the time. Flares cannot keep a formation. I mean, let's be real. Let's look at the data. They drift and drop with the wind. They have huge smoke trails that are illuminated by the flare itself. That's what they're meant to do. They're military illumination flares, and they're supposed to illuminate the area around it. Not one person reported.
Yeah, and Jim's work also, because Jim, you know, looked at that video, and it doesn't show us the smoke trails. Now, Real quick, let's talk about your event that you're showing of your documentary this weekend.
Okay. Appreciate that. But there's a lot more to this story, especially with the flare thing, because it wasn't until a month after the USA Today article came out that suddenly they hadn't looked at the log for visiting Air National Guard for 5 months, and that was the explanation of what some people might have seen. And there's a lot more to the story. I hope people read it in the book and come to the documentary on Sunday as well, because again, there is much more to the story.
What time
and having a wonderful 13th anniversary celebration on Sunday at the Harkin Shea 14 Theater at Scottsdale and Shea Roads. We have a 1 o'clock show and a 4 o'clock show. We're also going to have a Q&A after the performance for anybody that wants to stay, as well as we're introducing a special mystery guest this
Cool.
year, who I know the audience will really appreciate. So much has happened since the mass sighting, and this is one more confirmation that whatever happened here and whoever did this really touched lives very deeply here.
Right, and I know this is all in your documentary, so I'm excited. We'll have Open Minds people there, too, at both of the viewings. If you want to come meet me, I'm going to go to the 1 o'clock show. Really excited about that. So thank you for being on the show. It was great to have you and have you on for longer so we could get into more detail. Obviously, there's a lot more to talk about, but you can go to thephoenixlights.net to read more. So thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, and I urge people to get their tickets early because it's been sold out the last 4 years, and I want to make sure people get in because it's an amazing experience for everyone,
right.
I promise.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye. All right, we also have another caller for another event that's going on in the Phoenix metro area. Virginia, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Alex. Hi,
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, good. How are you?
Doing well.
So why don't you share the event that you all are hosting here soon?
On April 10th, we are having an event called Embracing Contact, the Phoenix Rising Conference. And it's an event that is about no more convincing regarding extraterrestrials. Extraterrestrials are here. They walk among us, they play with us, they talk to us, they walk with us, and we just want to have a conference where our speakers will have this open and free dialogue regarding no convincing, and the conference is also about reconnecting with our extraterrestrial origins.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, yeah, you guys are beyond talking about sightings. You believe, you know, that, yes, okay, you know that there are UFOs and they're being driven by extraterrestrials. So what about these extraterrestrials? You want to learn more about them and talk specifically on that subject.
Well, right. Well, actually, every speaker there is an experiencer. You know, Mike Fortson, March 13th, 1997, walked out at 8:30 and saw the massive mile-and-a-half-long ship. Went right in front of him and his wife. He's had many more encounters since. And then we have Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle, who is an experiencer again, who's also coined the phrase exoconsciousness, which is basically an expert look at the extraterrestrial origins, dimensions, and abilities of the human consciousness. It's an interconnection. We're connected to the stars. We have Barbara Lamb. She is the regression therapist, crop circle researcher, and has written a book called Alien Experiences. And she documents her clients' stories, the messages that they have gotten through the regression sessions through different extraterrestrial races. And then we have Philip Kraft, the LA Times editor, retired, atheist, didn't believe in any of this, and was invited on a spacecraft by a group of extraterrestrial race called the Vertans. Now, you know, the last time Philip was on their craft was September 11th, 2001.
Interesting.
And yes, very interesting. And they've given messages to Philip regarding meetings in the Southwest. So they're getting us ready.
Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting conference. Now, where can people go to find out more about it and to register?
Oh, they can go to the website, www.risingasone.com.
Risingasone.com.
Right, and it's April 10th. April 10th from 9 to 6 at the Scottsdale Cottonwoods Resort.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on. Rising is One, it sounds like a really interesting conference. So, and I know we're going to come there and have a table to say hi to people and help support the effort as well. So good job on getting this together.
Oh, thank you. And we're excited. We're excited for everybody to be a part of this.
It's exciting, too, because there's a lot going on in Phoenix. So it's really cool to have so much in this area. We had a lot going on in Colorado, but not what is probably the biggest mass UFO sighting in U.S. history, where I'm just, you know, getting to know that what I knew about the Phoenix Lights before only was the tip of the iceberg regarding all of the witnesses. So it's really an incredible thing. It's great to talk to more people, and I can't wait to talk to more witnesses and see some of the new stuff in this new documentary that Dr. Lynn Cotai has.
Right. She's done a fantastic job, and we'll take it even further with the Embracing Contact. The Phoenix Rising Conference is saying they're here. They're walking among us.
Yep.
Now, how do we embrace them and work together?
All right. Thank you, Virginia.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, next week on the show, we have Antonio Huneos, and he is one of the writers for the magazine for Open Minds. He's a great researcher. He's been writing about UFOs for over 30 years. His articles have appeared in dozens of publications around the world. He also co-authored the Lawrence Rockefeller-funded UFO briefing document, The Best Evidence. And what we're going to be talking about is our brand new magazine that's going to be hitting newsstands on the 23rd. It's an awesome magazine, and we'll talk about some of that. We're also going to Mexico, so next week you will not be able to see the cool live streaming video because we're going to be in Mexico, but we will still be live on the air here. And we'll be talking to Antonio, who's going to be speaking in Mexico, about his talk out there. He's going to be talking about the Vatican and their involvement with extraterrestrials, and they've actually gotten a lot going on lately in that arena. And we'll also talk about some Aztec omens. He's written a story that's going to be in our second magazine about Aztec omens and how similar a lot of these things that happened before the Spaniards came, you know, these pictures and everything are to UFO sightings. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to have Antonio on. Also, you're going to be able to watch this conference in Mexico live streaming on our website, openminds.tv. So there is a lot of cool stuff going on. And in fact, Barbara Lamb and some of the other people that were mentioned on the show today, we were able to catch up with them in Laughlin, Nevada last week. And we're going to have those interviews up on the website as well. So we've always got new and cool stuff. Go there and read more about Jason's interview or Jason's sighting of the Phoenix Lights and some of the other cool information. So openminds.tv is where you can find that. Thanks for listening to Open Minds Radio, where we are bringing the UFO subject into the light of day.
I live in a town where you can't smell a thing.